right. I've started the recorder, and tonight we're going to do NTI Hebrews chapter 10, which I have on page 410 of the Kindle. How about the paperback?
411.
411 and the paperback. All right, here we go. We were just talking about this a little bit, sort of. Verses 1 to 7. The guilt that you feel feels eternal within your soul, but it is not. The guilt that you feel rises repeatedly into your awareness for one reason. It rises as a reminder of your desire to heal. That is beautiful. Yeah, that is beautiful. You know, I think my experience was, and I think it's a lot of other people's experience too, that once you get on this spiritual path, a lot of guilt can come up. You know, we were just talking about it before we turned on the recorder, that a lot of times in the beginning of this process, when you learn about the ego voice and there's teachings teaching you to let go of the ego voice, to not listen to the ego, what you really do is you start noticing the ego in yourself, but then you start beating yourself up for it and getting angry at yourself and getting down on yourself and guilt just becomes so strong, you know, that sometimes it feels like you just can't get away from the guilt. But what this is really telling us is all of that guilt is really right there in our face because we want to heal from it. And that's why it's there. And it's there waiting for us to let go of beating up ourselves. And it's there waiting for us to learn, you know, what I call rest, accept, and trust, so that it can heal and or leave us. And so it's really nice that that's what the real reason the guilt won't go away is, because we've kind of said we want to heal, and so it's just sitting there waiting for us to let go of self-judgment and start practicing the purification practices. So again, the guilt that you feel feels eternal within your soul, but it is not. The guilt that you feel rises repeatedly into your awareness for one reason. It rises as a reminder of your desire to heal. You have not healed yourself because you do not fully recognize your desire to heal. You remain somewhat distracted by dreams, but your attention is turning from the distraction you have made to the desire for the remembrance of God. Now, this says that we are somewhat distracted by dreams, and I think with that, the way that typically shows up is by us still wanting to rearrange the outside so that we can be happy. You know, we want people to behave the way we want people to behave. We want events to unfold the way we want events to unfold. And so instead of looking within and seeing healing as the true path to happiness, you know, letting go of false beliefs and healing of things like guilt and unworthiness, instead of seeing everything within as our path to happiness, we still believe our path to happiness is outside. And if I could just get the whole world to behave the way I want the whole world to behave, then I'd be fine. That's being distracted by dreams. Verses 8 to 10. Do not worry that your distraction stands before you, glittering and sparkling with desire. Rest the desire that you recognize as dying within you. Focus on the desire that is growing. Your guilt shall fade with the old desire, which is fading, as your innocence is realized. So, of course, this is just encouraging us now to start turning our attention to the inner work. Let go of looking outside for happiness and start turning towards the inner work. Your guilt is cleansed away through your remembrance of your truth, because in your truth, there can never be any guilt. Guilt is the shadow of illusion, which means guilt is an illusion itself. For the shadow of what cannot be does not exist, and what does not exist cannot affect the truth of what you are. Now, this was pretty powerful for me, although I didn't fully understand it when I wrote it down. What I did understand up until this moment, I thought that guilt was something real. You know, like, maybe I had built up 2 tons of guilt in myself because of the things I'd done in my lifetime. And in order to be healed, I had to get rid of 2 tons of guilt. And that would take a certain amount of time. What I realized when this came was that guilt was just a belief. It was just a thought I had about myself, and not just myself, but other people too, you know, but it was just a thought that I held. And if it was just one thought, then that means it only takes one instant to let go of it forever. Where if there's 2 tons of guilt, it's going to take a certain amount of time. You know, you got work you got to do. But this was a completely different idea, the idea that guilt itself was an illusion. And so that was pretty helpful. And in fact, to some degree, not fully at this point, but to some degree, I did stop believing in guilt as I had this realization that guilt is just a belief. Like, and the reason I say to some degree is because, again, I thought that I had accrued a certain amount of actual guilt. And now I realized I only had a belief. And that already was much, much lighter than the belief I had before that I accrued some actual guilt. So again, guilt is the shadow of illusion, which means guilt is an illusion itself. For the shadow of what cannot be does not exist, and what does not exist cannot affect the truth of what you are. The one sacrifice that ends sin and guilt forever is not a sacrifice at all. It is but a remembrance and acceptance of all that has always been true. It is the release of what isn't and the re-acceptance of what is. It is a return to the realization of the truth of what you are. Of course, the only reason that we judge ourselves is because we believe ourselves to be a separate person. You know, if we knew A, that we're not the person, and B, that the person is just animated by the same thing that animates everything else, we probably watch the person much more like you watch a movie. And watching the person like you watch a movie doesn't have that same judgment in it, you know, that it does when you're judging yourself, like, oh, I'm so stupid, I shouldn't have done that. And I know that, you know, it's funny because Francine told a story in our MPP class this week about how she went to the ATM, and I think she tried to make a deposit first, and it wasn't working. And so then she thought she would try and take some money out, and for some reason she still thought it wasn't working. And so she walked away, and as she walked away, the man behind her kind of walked up, and then he yelled at her and goes, hey, you forgot your money. And the money had come out, and she hadn't noticed it. And what she did, of course, was judge herself about how stupid she was. Well, what that made me think of is a couple months ago, I went in and I totally forgot how to use an ATM machine. I couldn't even remember what to do. I just stood there staring at it. But I only laughed. I laughed. So what's the difference between laughing at moments like that and beating yourself up and thinking you're so stupid? The real difference is believing you're the person or not. You know, one, you're just observing the show and you're laughing at the funny scenes. The other one, you're an idiot because of the funny scenes. You know, you beat yourself up because that's who you think you are. So as you begin to detach, because like I'm not completely free from thinking I'm Regina, but I am significantly detached from it. It's almost like at one time there were 1,000 tentacles holding on to that idea. And now I don't know how many there are, maybe 350, you know, but like a big release has happened. And even that changes the way I experience myself. You know, I can watch myself do, quote, stupid things without, you know, and just giggle at it, right?
They're not even, I mean, you're judging them as stupid things.
Yeah.
But what I found helpful, first of all, is like it seems like it was like if it was the end of an episode, you know, like that was it. It wasn't. I mean, the example that when it happened to me was when I was working and I got to one part of town and I forgot something, so I had to go back and get what I forgot. And it was as simple as like just turning the car in the direction, you know, and doing that. And that was the truth of the matter was that I'm not stupid, I'm not incapable, or any of those things. And I didn't have to judge it. It was just something I had to do that day. It turned into from being stupid, it was just like, oh, instead of doing this, I have to, before I can do that, I have to go do this. It was very, my reaction to it was very mild. But I noticed it. I was like, well, you know, who's to say, you know, like, that this, you know, like, my day was, you know, centered around that one mistake.
But I love the way you said that, is that your reaction was very mild. And I'm assuming that at an earlier time, you probably would have been upset with yourself for the same thing.
Right. Well, it's you can almost rewrite the story. So
yeah.
Instead of like, and I forgot this, you know, like an idiot, and so I had to go back. You can just do what you had to do, and then the episode can end at some other point. And then I went to the store and came home, and that was it. You know, I had to, you know, it was just one extra thing I had to do, but it doesn't, you know. It takes a lot of the sting, and you know that critical self judgment. It did subtract a lot of that.
Yes.
I mean, that made me feel a lot better. It's like, you know, well, you know, just I got a little extra driving, but that was the extent of it. Instead of, you know, which is huge. Instead of I'm a stupid person, this is kind of inconvenient. You know, that was it.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of hard to explain this stuff to people who still are in that critical self judgment, and sometimes people want to know. Well, how do you stop? How do you stop? And to a point, it kind of stops on its own. As you begin to realize that it's not helpful, you begin to, in an intelligent way, lose interest in it. You know, you realize that all you're doing is torturing yourself and that there's not a need for it. And as you begin to lose interest in it, it just kind of dies its own death. And you can't really tell anyone, well, this is how I did it. You just say, well, it just went away. But it's really because you became wiser and you saw that all that critical self-judgment served no good purpose, no useful purpose, right? And then it can just fall away. The reason we judge ourselves is we actually think it serves some kind of a purpose. You know, if I really beat myself up a lot,
I'll improve.
Pardon?
I'll improve.
Yeah, I'll improve, yeah, or something like that. Yeah, it serves some kind of a purpose. Yeah. But when you see that it doesn't, then you can just let it go. So verses 15 to 18. The Holy Spirit testifies to this because the Holy Spirit is your remembrance of this. Again, and what the Holy Spirit is testifying to is that realizing the truth of what you are is going to end your belief in sin and guilt forever. The Holy Spirit testifies to this because the Holy Spirit is your remembrance of this. Within the Holy Spirit, there is no sin. Within the Holy Spirit, there could be no sacrifice. Within the Holy Spirit, there is only the reflection of your truth glistening upon the canvas of time. One thing that's really interesting is not only how guilt dies, but how sin dies. And they have to die together because they're two sides of the same coin. But just like you can make mistakes and not self-criticize, you can see others doing things that, you know, at one time you certainly would have called bad and you would have heavily judged them, and you don't. That also just falls away. And that's not something you can explain either. You can still sometimes know that certain actions are unfortunate. You know that people suffer because of those actions. You have compassion for the suffering. But you don't see the perpetrator, if you will, as a sinner. You don't see the perpetrator as guilty. It's just unfortunate. You know, maybe confused, not listening to the right mind, but not a sinner. And so that's really nice too, is that both sides kind of fall away at the same time, the guilt and the sin. Because again, ultimately they're the same thing. Verses 19 to 25. The practice of remembrance is the practice of awakening. Return your mind to the true desire of the heart and the work that lies within. With your purpose as your guide, let go of dreams willingly. Focus daily within every moment on true prayer, which is the prayer of the heart. So really what this is saying is that practice is the way to get to this experience where you no longer experience sin and guilt. And you want to practice with the heart. You know, practice with the heart to me means remember why you're doing this. You know, so if I do see some judgment come up in my mind, you know, I see some person, you know, I see a lady in the grocery store jerking her kid and screaming at her kid in the grocery store. You know, that's the kind of thing I used to would have judged. And if I'm still addicted to judgment, that judgment's going to run out of my mind so quickly that, you know, I can't catch it. But then I can look at it and I can realize, ah, this judgment just happened. I take that back. That's what I used to always do. I take that back. I don't want to judge this woman. I want to love her. And that's it. That's all I would do is say, I take it back. So I started taking back my judgments. And at some point, since I started taking them back, at some point they just quit showing up and flying out. I don't know how else to say that. But see, that just came from my heart. That just came from me knowing how I wanted to be. I wanted to be love, not judging and hating, right? And so again, I couldn't stop the judgments because shoop, boom, they're out there. But I could take them back with my heart. So you know what? I take that back. And again, I did that without judging myself, right? And that is called practice because you're practicing not judging at that point when you take a judgment back. And so this is saying that if you practice, you know, just every day, you know, remembering how you really want to be, your true prayer, you know, this is going to lead to the end of sin and guilt for you. Verses 26 to 31. God is love. This is the truth that is known within your heart because it has been written there. Know this truth by sinking within your mind to the heart. Rest yourself within your heart. Here your true desire is known, because here the truth of God is known. Then rise up and practice in joy. The truth is true, and it remains as always true. You are as you have always been. Love leads you always, even unto the remembrance of yourself. Even though it's not saying it very directly in this paragraph, I think what it's really saying is that God and your heart are synonymous. They're the exact same thing. And so if you can get out of your head and drop into your heart for a certain period of time every day and be in your heart and be your true self, then when you rise up and go into your day, you're much more likely to be yourself. Meaning that, again, if a habitual judgment shows up, you're going to take it back, not because you're bad for judging, but because you don't want it. You want to be yourself. You want to be love. You don't want to be judgment. So when the habit happens, you say, you know what, I take that back. That's not who I am. That's not who I want to be. And this whole cycle begins to reverse. But it really helps to spend time in your heart every day knowing yourself. Because if you never go in and get to know yourself, how can you be yourself? Right? You have to take that time to know yourself. Verses 32 to 38. You are the leader of your own awakening, and you lead yourself in love. This love is not limited to the seeming individual self and a heart that is trapped within a body. This love is the great love of a true self, which is awakening with a great joy to the awareness and realization it had lost. Your awakening is a great awakening, powered by the love of one Holy Spirit. There was something in me that used to, I don't know, judge, I guess is the word, but it felt like a cringe. Cringe whenever Holy Spirit asked me to drop into the heart and get to know the heart. Because I was still thinking of myself as a separate individual. And I thought, what good does that do? You know, like, I didn't believe that my heart and God are synonymous. I thought that was just my heart. And I thought, what good does that do to get to know my heart? You know, it's like I'm still disconnected from God. My heart is nothing, you know? And this is saying that's not what your heart is. In fact, the funny thing is today while I was at the doctor's with Ron, I was reading a discussion that Ramana Maharshi had with a devotee about the heart. And, you know, sometimes people would ask Ramana Maharshi, where is the spiritual heart? And he would say it's here on the right side of your chest. And so this guy was saying, well, why do you say it's on the right side of the chest? And Ramana Maharshi was explaining that's just a symbol. He says the heart is infinite. The heart is God. He says the body is within the heart. How can the heart be in the body? And so, see, I was getting the heart in the body, maybe, mixed up with what this was trying to point me to. The body is in it. You know, this God, which is the truth of what I am, that's what I want to get in touch with. And because I feel like a body, it may feel like my heart, my head, is dropping down into my physical heart. You know, like I may even feel, not even my real heart, see, I'm pointing on the right side of the chest too, but I may feel like a light down here in the chest and all of that. But the truth is, my real heart is beyond space and time. It's beyond form, and everything in form is included in it. And when I drop inside and I get in touch with that, I'm actually in touch with everything, the love of everything. And then I can rise up from that experience much more motivated to be loved today than if I don't take the time to get to know my heart. Sentence 5 says, look at your brother and rejoice. He is one with you. His Holy Spirit is one with your Holy Spirit. It is this Holy Spirit that leads you. Again, it's emphasizing that it's not my heart in the way I was thinking of it. It's our heart. Like we actually all ultimately have the same heart. And to remember that when I look at my brother, this love, this joy, this peace that is in me is in everyone, regardless of whether they're aware of it, regardless of whether they're acting on it. And when I'm living from my heart, I'm living in the way that really everyone wants to see living happen. You know, I have the support of the entire universe when I choose to be love. And in fact, that's what sentence 9 says. The universe has come to answer your call for awakening because the universe is one mind with you. Your true desire is the true desire of it all. Now, sometimes, of course, we all know that when the universe comes to help me awaken, it comes to push my buttons, right? People show up in my life that they can say things that trigger me so I can look and see what else I still have to let go of. But the whole universe is supporting my awakening. There isn't anyone, really, who doesn't want me to awaken because we all have the same heart. There's only one heart. Rest the awareness of dreams. Sink into the desire of the heart. Join with yourself, and it is your truth that is realized and remembered. So again, as this is saying, if I will take time every day to drop into my devotional heart, what I'm really doing is getting to know myself. And then as I go into my day, I will be much more willing to abide as myself, to be myself, rather than that false personality. So it seems like to me, you know, that again, if we want to do a weekly lesson, the lesson is to spend time getting to know the heart every day and then be that heart throughout the day, the one that we get to know in the morning time, to the best of our ability, of course. We want to remember that Hebrews is also talking to a person who is still in a phase where sometimes they're able to follow their true desire. And sometimes they aren't. And when we aren't, we just want to notice it, realize what we want, and get back into the abiding without judging ourselves. Does that sound okay? Mm-hmm. It's a pretty easy assignment. So I will turn off the recorder and we can have a bit of silence.